The Mishnayos continue to talk about a Beis HaPras, which is a field in which there was a grave that was plowed over, and midrabbanon, as a punishment, an area of up to 100 by 100 amos from the grave would become tomei because of the concern that the bones of the grave were scattered across the field. And the concern is really that there will be a bone which is at least the size of a corn of barley. That's the minimum size needed to transfer its impurity. And in light of the fact that the entire decree is based on such concern that there will be a bone the size of at least a corn of barley, the Mishnah says that stay Beis HaPras al gabi tahora, if there is a field that has the status of a Beis HaPras because it was plowed over and there was a grave there, and it is situated higher up than a totally pure field that is next to it. There is a slope separating between the two fields. Shotfu geshomim Beis HaPras al tahora, if rain caused some of the soil to be washed away from the higher up field of the Beis HaPras, which was Tomei midrabbanon la tahora, and it carried the soil towards the pure field, which was lower down. Afilu aduma vehilbinuha, even if the field that was lower down had red soil, red meaning brown, regular soil, and the field that was higher up, the Beis HaPras, its earth was white and light. And due to the fact that lots of the soil went into the lower field soil now changed color to be white. So it's totally evident that the soil was carried to the lower field. If it was the opposite, if the lower field was white, its earth was lighter, and it was reddened after the rain washed away part of the earth to the lower field. Even though we can see that part of the soil and the earth from the Beis HaPras traveled into that field, in Eisenos of Beis HaPras, it would not turn that lower field into a Beis HaPras, because the entire decree midrabbanon that states that that area is considered to be tomei only applies to the field itself if it is over there, and if part of the earth is taken out of the field, only if it is taken out in a clump would it be tomei. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because the entire concern is based on there being a bone that's at least the size of a corn of barley. If it's just the soft dust which is totally crushed of the soil, then there's not really such a concern. And since anyway it's only a stringency midrabbanon, so only an entire clump of earth, whose size will be defined in the next Mishnah, only that has the power to make other things tomei if it is taken out of the Beis HaPras. Mishnah Hey. Up until now, the Mishnah has focused on one form of a Beis HaPras, which is a field that contains a grave, and the grave was plowed over, and there is a concern that the bones were scattered across the field. The second form of a Beis HaPras is Sodeh She'ovad Kever B'Soicha, a field in which a grave was lost. It's known that there is a grave inside of that field, but they're not sure where exactly in the field is the grave. On the one hand, this is a smaller concern than the first form of a Beis HaPras, because the Tumah is located in only one part of the field. On the other hand, it is a full dead body, or at least it's the size that is needed to transfer impurity even via Tumas Oihel. In the first case of a Beis HaPras, where it was plowed over, there's only a concern that a bone that is the size of a corn of barley exists somewhere in the field, and such a bone makes somebody who touches or carries it tomei. Carries or even moves it, they would become tomei. But it's too small to make somebody tomei via Tumas Oihel. And therefore, the first form of a Beis HaPras, if somebody is situated above the soil without touching it, for example, if he is on the back of a horse, and he doesn't touch the soil himself at all, he doesn't cause it to move in any way, then he would not become tomei. However, in this second form of a Beis HaPras, since the concern is of a dead body that is large enough to transfer its impurity even via Tumas Oihel, even without touching the soil and one is only above it, that is enough to make him tomei midrabbanon. So this does bring us back really to the main focus of Maseches Ahlus, how Tumah is transferred, what's considered to be one Oihel, what's considered to be more than one Oihel. What happens if Uvono Bobayis Vali Al Gabov, somebody builds a house, although the word bias in this Masechta usually refers to a lower floor, a ground floor, and on top of that he builds a upper story in the field. Now, certainly the lower story is going to be tomei, and any item which is inside of the lower, the ground floor, is tomei, because to the extent that midrabbanon we are concerned about the existence of the dead body somewhere in the field. That tumor is spread to anything in the lower story. However, the roof of the lower story is essentially an oihel, which means that it prevents the impurity from traveling beyond it. So items in the upper story should remain pure. However, the Mishnah is going to show that if there is a door of the upper story, that is to say that there are not stairs only inside of the house in order to reach the upper floor, but outside of the house there are stairs in order to reach the door, and one is able to enter into the upper story without going via the lower story. This being the case, the upper part of the doorway, the lintel, is an oihel, and since all of the area underneath the doorway is just the wall of the house, if the dead body, which we're not sure where it is, but if the dead body is directly underneath the doorway, that would mean that anything directly above the dead body becomes tamei, until it reaches an oihel, which prevents it from becoming tamei. That means that the tumah reaches the doorway, and the oihel, which is formed by the top of the doorway, the lintel, is directly next to and attached to the oihel of the entire upper story, which means that the tumah would be spread to the doorway, and then it would enter into the upper story as well. So the Mishnah says, if the doorway, in order to enter into the upper story, was directly above the doorway of the lower story, so then there's no problem. The items inside of the upper story would remain pure, because even if the dead body is situated directly underneath it, there is the oihel that is formed by the lower doorway. The top of the lower doorway is an oihel, and that prevents the impurity from traveling beyond it further upwards. And all of the tumah would be blocked by the roof of the lower story from traveling further upwards. But v'imlav, if not, if the doorway of the upper story is not directly above the doorway of the lower story, that means that there is no oihel underneath it to prevent it from traveling further upwards. And in that case, v'aliyah tameyah, the upper story and anything inside of it would become tamei, as we explained. Now, the previous Mishnah showed that if earth or soil is taken out of the field itself, which is a brisa pras, it is only a source of impurity if it is a clump of earth. But if it's just soft soil, which is like dust, then the Chachamim never applied their stringency to treat it as something that is tamei. And really, this makes a lot of sense, being that the entire concern for the tumah is that there might be a bone that's at least the size of a corn of barley. The question is, how large does that clump of earth need to be? Afar beis hapras, the earth that comes from a beis hapras, v'afar chutz la'aretz, and earth that comes from an area outside of Eretz Yisrael, midrabbanan, the land outside of Eretz Yisrael is considered to be tamei. One reason given for this is because people would bury their dead bodies, at least non-Jews would bury their dead bodies without marking the graves in random spots, so anywhere, really, there is a possibility that there is a dead body buried there. Shebob Yorok, the case which the Mishnah is talking about, is where the earth comes together with vegetables. Vegetables were plucked out of the Beis HaPras field, or out of a field outside of Eretz Yisrael, and they were plucked out of the ground together with a clump of earth. However, the clump of earth is not large enough in and of itself, but the Mishnah says that mitzdorfin k'chos mamar tzofin. The earth that is at the bottom of all of these vegetables can combine to make up the minimum size of earth that is needed to be a source of impurity, and that is the same size as the seal that was made out of clay and was placed on large sacks which carried merchandise. This was a big clay seal. That is the size that the clump of earth needs to be, and according to Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that multiple clumps of earth are able to combine to make up that minimum size. But the Chachom say, it needs to be that there is in one place, meaning one clump of earth makes up that entire minimum size of a clay seal that was used for the sacks of merchandise. Now, they both agree that if it's only the dust, if it's just soft soil, then it would not be a source of impurity even to combine with other parts of the soft soil, just like we learned in the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Maisa shehayu igros bois medina sayom. There was a story which occurred with letters that came from abroad, from outside of Eretz Yisrael, and these letters were sealed with clay seals. But of course, the seals that are used to seal letters are far smaller than clay seals used for closing up the sacks. And these letters were delivered livnei kohanim gedolim to the sons of the kohanim gedolim v'hoi bahem kisal chusosaim chusomais, and altogether there was a volume of around roughly a sa'ar, two sa'ar, of these small clay seals, and combined there was certainly enough to reach that minimum amount needed to be a source of impurity. And yet, Chachom were not concerned at all with regards to its impurity, and this supports the opinion of the Chachomim that the different pieces of earth do not combine together to make up that minimum size. In general, in order for an item of food to be able to become tomei, it must have at some point become wet. More specifically, it must have become wet in a way that is an advantage for the food or for the owner of the food. He is happy about it becoming wet. Even if it's not wet at the time that it touches a source of impurity, as long as it has become wet at some point, from that point onwards it becomes fit to become tomei. However, midirabbanan, grapes specifically, are able to become tomei as soon as they are harvested. As soon as they come off of the vine, even if they have not become wet in a way that is an advantage for the owner, for a reason that is not the focus of this Mishnah, and therefore we're not going to go into it now, they are able to become tomei already immediately. However, since that impurity is only midirabbanan, according to Beis Hillel at least, this does not apply to the impurity that comes from a Beis HaPras. Since the impurity of Beis HaPras is also only midirabbanan, they did not apply this stringency with regards to the grapes of a Beis HaPras. So the Mishnah asks, Ketzad Boitzim Beis HaPras, in which way is it possible to harvest the grapes of a Beis HaPras without the grapes becoming tomei? Interestingly, the Mishnah says that Mazin al Ha'odon v'al HaKelim, we sprinkle the solution that contains the ashes of a Parah Adumah, a red cow, onto the person and the tools that are going to be used for the harvesting, including the basket that's going to hold the grapes, in order to purify them. This is the way to purify something that became tomei from a dead body. And this is pretty interesting that they are doing so inside the Beis HaPras itself. Midirabbanan, the Beis HaPras, is considered to be tomei and makes anybody who is inside of there impure, and yet inside the Beis HaPras itself, they go through the purification process. And one reason given for this is just in order to show that they're not totally ignoring the fact that the Beis HaPras is something that is a source of impurity, midirabbanan. So in order not to totally ignore it, and there be a recognition of the fact that there is such a impurity that is caused by the Beis HaPras, they would go through the purification process of being sprinkled with this solution that contains the ashes of the Parah Adumah on the third day since they entered into the Beis HaPras, and on the seventh day, that means v'shoinim, they would be sprinkled again on the seventh day, that's the purification process, and then, u'boitzrim, they would be able to harvest the grapes, and it doesn't really matter if they touch the grapes, because as we mentioned, the grapes cannot become tomei until they actually become wet, at least in this case, u'moitzim chutz beis hapras, and then they take the grapes out of the beis hapras, v'acherim akab mehem, and other people need to now take the grapes from them, u'melichim lagas, and take them to the wine press. Of course, when they are taken to the wine press and pressed, then they will become wet, and then obviously they can become tomei. Now, the person himself is still considered to be tomei, as well as the items that were inside of the Beis HaPras. The entire purification process was more just to make note of the fact that we're not ignoring the concept of Beis HaPras. But since they are still tomei, im nogu elu ba'elu, if those people or those items that were in the Beis HaPras touch the people or who are taking the grapes now, then tomeim, those people themselves would become tomei, and then they wouldn't be able to press the grapes because they would make the grapes tomei. So they need to make sure that they don't touch each other, and in addition to that, they need to take a new basket in order to place the grapes into that new basket, which is not tomei, because the new basket never entered into the Beis HaPras. Kedivrei Beis Hillel, that is the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Umrim, Beis Shammai, however, say that the decree midirabbanan that states that grapes can become tomei even without becoming wet, that does also apply to a Beis HaPras. Just because the Beis HaPras is only tomei midirabbanan, that is not enough of a reason to say that the other stringency midirabbanan does not apply over here as well. And if so, the only way that is possible for the person to harvest the grapes inside of the Beis HaPras without making the grapes tomei is if he does not touch the grapes at all. So how should he do that? Oichez es hamagol b'siv. He should hold the sickle, which is a harvesting tool that has a curved, moon-shaped blade. He should hold that b'siv, which is a material which comes from a palm tree, around the trunk of a palm tree. This is just an example of a material that is not able to become tomei that can practically be used to hold the harvesting tool. Or alternatively, he could cut the grapes with a sharp stone. Stone, of course, also is not able to become tomei. And place the grapes into a very large basket that is too large to become tomei. If it's placed into a basket that can become tomei, then the basket would make the grapes tomei. But if the basket is too large that it is not able to become tomei, then it would solve that issue. And the truth is, he can't actually pick up the grapes and put them into the basket, because then he will touch the grapes and that will make the grapes tomei. So the Mishnah means that you should place this large basket underneath the vine, such that as he cuts the grapes off of the vine, they'll automatically fall into the large basket by themselves. Rabbi Yossi said, Bamadram Amurim, when is this whole discussion relevant that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are coming up with ways to harvest the grapes without making them tomei? That's specifically Bekerem Hanas Beis HaPras, for a vineyard that became a Beis HaPras. It was a vineyard, and there was a grave inside of there, and then somebody plowed the grave. Aval Hanuteya Beis HaPras, but if somebody went ahead and he planted the vines inside of a Beis HaPras, that's something he certainly should not have done. We want to avoid impurity. The advice that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are giving is not just good advice, it's a requirement. It's forbidden to just allow the grapes to become tomei because we do not want to increase largely the amount of impurity that will exist. So certainly it's forbidden to plant a Beis HaPras and add a new vine to there. And therefore in that case, Rabbi Yossi understands that there is no way to solve the problem unless you harvest the grapes in order that yimocher lashuk, they will be sold in the marketplace. Grapes that are harvested in order to sell, as opposed to in order to press into wine, in that case, the entire decree midrabanan that states that they're able to become tomei as soon as they are harvested, that doesn't apply. Even to regular tumah midaraisa, tumah that the Torah recognizes, the entire decree midrabanan only applies to grapes that are harvested in order to press into wine, which is the vast majority of grapes. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, if you want to press it into wine, then you've got no solution. You're only allowed to harvest the grapes in order to sell them in the marketplace, and that way they will not become tomei until they actually become wet. Mishnah Beis, we have learnt about two different forms of a Beis HaPras. One is if there was a grave inside of the field and the grave was ploughed over, there's a concern that the bones were scattered across the field. And the second form of a Beis HaPras is when there is a grave inside of the field, not that it's been ploughed over, but we're just unsure where that grave is situated. This Mishnah says that Shloisha Beis Prasis Hein, there are three forms of a Beis HaPras, although as we're going to see later on in the Perek, in this chapter, the third is a very different form of a Beis HaPras that is less related to these laws of impurity. The first type of Beis HaPras is Achoresh Zakever, one who plows over a grave that was in the field, Nita'as Kol Neta. It is permitted to plant trees inside that field, whereas Ve'eino Nizra'as Kol Zera, it cannot be planted with every kind of produce. For example, vegetables, chutz mizera haniktzar, except for produce that is harvested without being uprooted fully from the ground, that it would be permitted to plant in the field. The reason why it's forbidden to plant things like vegetables is because there's a concern that the vegetables, the way that vegetables are harvested, is by plucking out the vegetable together with the earth in which it sits from the ground. And there's a concern that that clump of earth, which is underneath the vegetable, will be taken out of the Beis HaPras, and it's a source of impurity, midrabanan. Now, this concern does not exist with trees, because obviously it's only really the fruit that are taken off of the trees, and likewise, produce like wheat and barley are harvested above the ground, so the actual earth is not taken out of it, and therefore there is no concern that part of the soil, clumps of earth that comes from the Beis HaPras, will be taken outwards and spread its impurity. The imakore, what happens if, for whatever reason, he did decide to uproot fully the produce, like the wheat? What should he do now? He has a clump of earth that's no longer attached to the ground. He's not able to take it out of the Beis HaPras because he'll make other things tomei. Says the Mishnah, Tsoiver es geron el soichoi. He should pile up all of his produce into a pile inside that field and thresh it in the field without taking it out. The koiver b'shtei kvarais, and then he needs to sieve it twice with two different sieves in order that we can be certain that there is no longer remaining a bone that is at least the size of a corn of barley. The Reb Meir, that is the opinion of Reb Meir. V'chachom em omrim, the chachom say, hatavua, regular grain like wheat and barley, b'shtei kvarais, it is true that it's sufficient to sieve it twice with two different sieves, but v'hakitnios b'sholish kvarais, beans and other things that are similar require three sieves, because there's usually more earth that is mixed together with the beans. Continues the Mishnah, what should be done with the straw and the other inedible parts of the produce? These parts that were left at the top of the sieve, they are likely to still contain clumps of earth, and therefore the entire straw cannot be taken out of the field. He needs to burn the straw of the produce, or the straw of the beans, all of the inedible parts, in order to make sure that the tumah does not spread to anything else. Ends off the Mishnah. Another important distinction between this type of a beis hapras and the other type of a beis hapras is that umetame b'mago v'masa, it's a source of impurity if somebody touches or carries, and included in carrying is moving, the earth or the soil of that field. But v'ein umetame b'oyhel, it does not transfer its impurity via tumas oyhel, because the entire concern is that there is a piece of bone that's at least the size of a corn of barley, but not that there is an amount that's large enough to transfer its impurity via tumas oyhel.